Okay. This is the Planning Commission's work session. First order of business is roll call. Mr. Patrick?
Here.
Braulio?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Jim?
Yes, I am here.
John Updike?
I am here as well.
Bob Berman?
And I.
And Bill Brannigan. And missing is Gary East. Is Gary coming, or you heard from Gary?
I have not heard from Commissioner East, but I do see that Dustin Capri is just joining the meeting as well.
Dustin Capri. And is Jamie Michelle on? She's on too. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, first order of business is new business, which is review of ordinance number 2202, implementing short-term rental ordinance implementation work group recommendations. And Mr. Toko, staff report?
Yes, Derek Toko's Community Development. I'll be brief. The, you know, this ordinance was presented at a public hearing at your last regular session. This was an ordinance that was prepared and in working with the city's short-term rental ordinance implementation work group. That work group was impaneled basically when the city adopted the major rewrite of a short-term rental code in 2019. And that group met for a couple of years, you know, with regularly with city staff and others vetting and in considering, you know, how the implementation of the short-term code was working before it ultimately came up with recommendations that were included in that ordinance. Those recommendations include the 30-day grace period that would apply for those persons who own vacation rental dwellings within the basically a commercial or adjacent to a commercial property where they're transferable. In other words, the buyer can immediately operate as a vacation rental. They don't need to go on the wait list or something of that nature. And so that was one of them. There was also the codification of the wait list process. And there was some tightening of the enforcement provisions as well, which make it, you know, if somebody has a violation that's not directly related to the short-term rental operation, but it's on the property, that it would count against the strikes that they have. You had requested that this go to work session. You had testimony. One item of testimony is from Cheryl Connell. She's here in the audience. Her letter you had at the last meeting was, it's reattached. With respect to the two principal issues, one, the 30-day grace period for vacation rentals, I included some information in there from our fire department and from finance, so you had a better sense of how that operates or works with hotel motels, because that was a question that was posed at your public hearing. With respect to hotels and motels, our finance department on the business licensing finds out that there's been a change of ownership in a hotel. Typically with the monthly room tax remittance forms, that's one way they would find out, or if it was proximate to the annual business license renewal period, they'd find out as part of the renewal period. So, you know, there's nothing in terms of how hotels or motels are handled, where a new hotel owner under our code would be coming in sooner than 30 days to get a new business license typically. And that's frankly how it's going to work with all business licenses. I think the vacation rentals are the only ones that have a set time frame, you know, that they were to come in immediately and get a new business license. The 30-day grace period, I think the short-term rental ordinance implementation work group felt that that was a reasonable accommodation, since you don't want them to have to clear the decks in terms of people who have reservations, you know, until they get a business license. You know, with a business license and a new owner on a vacation rental, the new owner, when they come in for their business license and endorsement, would arrange for an inspection of their unit. Outside of that, when they do their annual renewals, it's just checking off that none of the circumstances have changed. If any of the circumstances have changed, that would typically trigger a new inspection. That's how vacation rentals are handled in terms of the life safety inspections from fire. Hotels and motels are a little different, and I included the stats in your packet. They inspect annually, you know, as long as they have the resources to do it, they generally can pull that off. But if they're a little bit light, they'll prioritize the larger ones. But they generally will get through all of them. I mean, you have hotels and motels anywhere from, say, Anchor Pier Lodge on the Bayfront, which I think is 4 units, up to, you know, several hundred units. So, you know, they've got to go through that. And they typically will spot check, and it's explained in the email in terms of how they approach their inspections and some of the issues that come up. You know, and those issues also vary depending upon how the hotel, motel is structured and who they're actually catering to in terms of clients, whether or not some of their clients are more long-term, which we do have some of that with the US 101-oriented hotels or purely vacation rental transient type occupancies. The other issue had to do with, Bob, that was your request to see some language about imposing basically a hard deadline on the phase out of vacation rentals that are outside the overlay. I included that language as it was last presented to the City Council, which was their last work session, I believe, before they took final action in May of 2019. It's the April 15th. 2019 work session. It's titled version 6, and I included the two options that they had available to them at the time. And, you know, they had the hard deadline of 10 years or upon sale or transfer, whichever was sooner, or upon sale or transfer. They went with the latter, and that's what's in the code. Now, if that were to be added, I had to note, and this is something I didn't think of on the fly at the hearing, but I had to have a chance to think about it. You can't add the hard deadline into the short-term rental ordinance because that would be affecting the allowed uses of the property, which requires Measure 56 notice. And I included a copy of the statute that speaks to that and the sample notice that we provided the last time we did the vacation rental changes, because we anticipated that there would be, and there was, some prohibition of uses there. So if you were to want to do that, I think what you would need to do is by motion, direct staff to prepare an ordinance, but it wouldn't be commingled with short-term rental ordinance work group recommendations, because their recommendations didn't go to prohibiting use, and so that notice wasn't provided with the January 9th public hearing. So that's the explanation there. You had asked if some of the short-term rental work group members could attend. I sent the invitation out. I know several people did have conflicts with the state. At least a couple were out of state. But Sandy was kind enough to attend. She's here in person, along with Jamie, who's online. And, of course, Bill was a member of that work group as well. So, and Cheryl's here again. In terms of the letter she prepared. So at this point, I'd turn this back, Bill, to you guys in terms of what you want to talk through, if you have questions or other issues you'd like to discuss.
Questions of Derek?
Go ahead, brother.
I think I was one of the folks who wanted to have this work session to discuss it, and there were two issues that kind of crossed my mind. Number one, there's a working committee, and working committee on these short-term rentals, they came up with this proposal and sent it to us. And I thought it might be helpful to hear their rationale for these proposals from those folks who are on the committee, you know, because they spend a lot of time on the issue, number one. Number two, I think I personally reached out to Ms. Connell because she had provided some written testimony, and I was hopeful that she might be able to amplify, you know, her concerns that she raised in her written testimony. So I think at this point I'd like to hear more as to, I'm more concerned, I think, with issue number two about the overlay and the number of STRs. And the secondary issue is whether or not there should be an automatic extension of the license to a new owner.
Well, I just, I brought up the 10-year phase-out. I still think that that's a good idea, and it's something we should pursue. But in reading back over, well, essentially back to 2019, I'm speculating here, but it's my distinct impression that that clause was not included because in executive session, the council was told that we had a potential for some Measure 49 claims, and that scared them off. It's true that that would be a basis for a Measure 49 claim, but you know, we've had this ordinance which affected basically everybody in Newport and their ability to use their residences as short-term rentals in one way or another, and there has not been one Measure 49 claim yet. I'd like to suggest that we set this aside for now, because Measure 49 specifically says you've only got 5 years to file a claim from the time that the land use regulation was put in effect. That's 2019. I think we ought to take a look at it next year on the 5-year anniversary. And if there have been no Measure 49 claims for anything having to do with STRs, then take a look at it again then.
And does people agree with Bob, or do we want to pursue the
10-year? I don't necessarily disagree with what Mr. Berman's saying, but listening also to what Derek says and what we are capable of doing here within the law, we can't put in a time limit.
To be clear, you can't add it to the ordinance.
Yes.
That the short-term rental work group forwarded. Right. You've held a hearing on that ordinance. The statute is clear that if you're moving an ordinance forward that would have the effect of prohibiting a use that was otherwise allowed, and the hard cap would do that at a fixed point in time, then we're obligated to provide a very specific notice, which is intended to alarm people. It was put in statute specifically for that purpose. It's called Measure 56. Property rights group back in the day got that in there so that if government generally is looking to prohibit use, change zoning classification on a property, for example, that, you know, they're going to get that notice and they're going to show up at a hearing. And so that's what it's intended to do, and that's why it's framed that way. So if you want to put a hard cap, you would need to prepare a separate...
Excuse me, Derek. I don't think the term hard cap
A hard phase out is probably the better term for it. The 10-year phase out or whatever number goes in there, then you would have to do a motion to ask us to prepare an ordinance for that to that effect, and then we would provide that required notice to the affected property owners, which is what the statute requires.
May I finish my thinking?
Oh, please. Yeah, please do.
Mm-hmm. Under those... under those guidelines, and I may still be stepping outside those guidelines, I can easily drop the phase-out timeline, because quite honestly, I don't think city council or the city attorney is going to go that way. Right. They're too fearful. So let's just set that aside.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. We set that aside and take a look at it again next year.
And in its place, do something like I believe Ms. Connell suggested, and throw out these options that the council looked at previously, listed as A1, an A2, or a second number 2, which I don't agree with either. I think it would be appropriate to count all VRDs, STRs, on that cap number, regardless of where they are. When the overlay was created, the whole concept of the overlay was that's where VRDs should be. And in agreeing to that, it was also agreed that VRDs did not belong in the other areas of the city. That was clear at the origin of these ordinances. So take the cap number of 176, and that will be the number that we will strive to get to. And because we are currently, and I'm basing these numbers on Derek's letter of 7/11/22, and they could be out of date by now, but there was 149 in the overlay, 36 outside, that's a total of 185. That is beyond the cap. And so I would suggest, under my idea, that no permits be awarded at all. And you cannot award any in the overlay until those disappear outside the overlay, which was an agreement when we made the first ordinance that they would be only in the overlay. You don't want a 10-year, 15, 5-year phase out? Fine, eliminate the phase out and we'll just simply do it based on numbers. And you can start to fill up the overlay, which is undersubscribed right now at 149. That could eventually climb to 176, but not until those outside the overlay disappear. The phase out becomes a moot point. We don't have to put a year on it. And as Derek said in one of our last meetings, the VRDs outside the overlay are slowly disappearing. There was 50 of them, now there's 36. There has been a lessening of those numbers, and he believed that it will continue to decrease.
Derek, can we, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you give us a clarification? It's how many licenses are within the overlay right now?
Active licenses would be, I think Jim's got it right, you got it in the 140s somewhere. We always have a certain number of them that are in the process of getting licenses because licenses are given up, homes are sold. We do an annual renewal process. We don't make those licenses available immediately. We don't have the resources to be doing that on a day-to-day basis. So annually at business license renewal, that's when we look and say, okay, how many available licenses under 176 do we have? That has trended to be somewhere in the mid-20s. And so what we do then is go through the wait list. The wait list is currently 77, and we work down that wait list. Now, we do run into people who are on that wait list who aren't in a position to pursue a license for a number of reasons. Sometimes they're not in the position to do it because they have a longer-term tenant in there, the unit is not ready for it. Other times it's because they can't meet, say, the spacing requirement. There's another vacation rental on the same street segment. They're aware of that. They don't want to ask relief from that because they're not confident they would get that. And so they just choose to stay on the wait list, hoping that the next time their name comes up, that won't be an issue. So that's generally how it's been working. We've been at that 176 basically since shortly after the May 2019 adoption. We hit the 176 total within the, and we've been at that since then. So we started a wait list shortly after.
Well, but you said there's 140 something and the cap is 176. So the other 30 have just all been vacated in the last 6 months?
No. They're in the process of getting licensed. We're making all 176 available, but we have a whole bunch of them that are in the process of getting licensed. They're new ones that chose to take advantage of the availability of a license.
Okay, so some people have come off the waiting list.
Correct.
And
are in the process.
They're in the process, and that's why the number's 140 and not 176.
Correct.
Okay, so it will probably go up from now through August, and then there'll be another
And it hasn't gotten all the way back up to 176, and I say that just because of you've got these 20-some unprocessed, and some of them, I mean, we run into situations where they're working, they got to deal with a fire egress issue with one of their windows. They're having a hard time getting the window contractor lined up. It takes months to even get to there. And at the end of the day, then they finally just say, you know, we're not going to even bother with it. And so then the license goes back in the pool. Do we reallocate it? No, not until the next renewal period. Then we reallocate it. So it goes, you know, back on the list and say, okay, that'll be available with whatever else pops up through the business license renewal process.
So okay. I'm just asking for clarification.
Yeah.
Around because mm-hmm. you said we were at the max and he said we got 140 something, and so that was a discrepancy. So that's the explanation I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is your proposal to just table all of this for another calendar year?
Oh, no, only the 10-year phase out. That was my only proposal. I wasn't talking about anything else other than the 10-year phase out. That's what I would take back off the table for this year. All the other topics are perfectly valid. If you want to have the cap apply citywide, that's certainly something we could consider, and then the 30-day thing, and
I think by taking all of the STRs that are in the city, that gives us a more accurate assessment of how many we have, and we are beyond the 176, and so we should not pass out. And the ones that take us past that number are the ones that are outside the overlay, and so they will slowly disappear. Derek feels that way. He has seen attrition out there. And so the attrition out there should guide how many more permits will eventually be given to inside the overlay, but never should there be more than 176. So once they get down and some of those outside ones disappear, which is the whole concept behind that original ordinance, was to see that they disappeared over time. So we can have that happen, and the time frame doesn't have to be set, but it does limit how much housing we allow to go away from residential housing. We have a housing shortage here.
That'll be taken up at our works at our regular session.
Well, we've been talking about housing shortage forever. And one of the things that happens in all communities where we have VRDs is it cuts into the housing ability. We have people who need to be employed here, school districts, police departments. The city has trouble getting employees because they can't find any place to live.
Hospital.
I would rather have employees than to have an extra VRD. We have tourism. It's strong. It's sufficient for this town. It's growing. But we don't have a growing housing
inventory.
No, we don't. And
would it be appropriate to ask our visitors to perhaps share their view?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we invited them. I would concur. I think it'd be helpful if you hear from Jamie and from Sandy, but I would add just a little bit of clarification on where the 176 came from, or up to 200, which is what the code currently says. The number would be a fixed number set by council resolution, not to exceed 200. The 176 was set by resolution the same day the ordinance was adopted. There were several documents the council acted on. They adopted the ordinance, then turned around and set the cap at 176. The city, you know, when we were doing the 2019 work, one of the things we took a look at was, you know, how much of the city's housing stock is tied up in seasonal housing, and, you know, many of which are short-term rentals, not all of them. A lot of just second homes, too. And we looked at different percentages. Now, we first looked at that citywide, and then we looked at it in the context of the overlay zone itself, because the overlay zone was developed through that process. And so the 176 was a numeric equivalent of what was a percentage allocation of housing within the overlay. It also happened to be fairly close to where our licensing was going. And I know from testimony I recall from at least one or two of our council people, they're like, we're going to set it at 176 because that is effectively going to cap it such that it won't go above that and we'll start moving into a wait list. And so that's what was done. Now, the short-term ordinance implementation work group, what they looked at this, and one of their final, you know, recommendations and why this language is before you was they felt that it would be inappropriate for the council to simply by resolution, which they can do at any meeting with a resolution, no public hearing or anything, adjust that number from 176 to something else. And so they felt that it should be hardwired into the city's municipal code, and that's why this recommendation came in. So we'll just hardwire the 176. Now, if you proceed along Jim's line here, which is, okay, 176 means everything, not just what's within the overlay, well, that effectively would reduce the number of permissible licenses by about 36, because that would pull the 36 that are outside the overlay into the number. And I think you would have to think about what's your policy rationale for that. Now, we've been holding to 176 since 2019. Our housing stock has not been static since one. I mean, we've added several large apartment projects, for example, since 2019.
But they're not going to put short-term rentals in a housing project next to the movie theater.
I understand that, but if your rationale, what I'm saying is, if you're going to reduce or make a recommendation that the council reduce the number of available licenses from what it is right now to 36 less, which is what that action would do, what's your policy rationale for that? And I'm just putting it out there because you need to be able to articulate that. And
I'm not asking them to reduce the number of licenses. I'm saying do not pass any more out until till this number 185 lessens.
I thought the argument was also those STRs outside of the overlay zone were slowly decreasing.
That's what we've been told.
They are.
And the original agreement, Braulio, is that they would go. That was the original agreement, that we would have an overlay for VRDs, and VRDs outside that overlay would go away. That was the agreement.
Well, there wasn't any agreement. There's nothing in the ordinance about it because the city council chose not to put it in the ordinance.
That's correct. But at the when the ordinance was first written, sitting at that advisory group, that was what went around the table, is that those in the outside areas would disappear over time.
Well, sure. Given enough time, absolutely.
That's right.
But I don't think it's happening fast enough, but that's a separate topic, and that we put aside.
Well, I'm just saying that by going in the direction I've suggested, what it will do is it will limit the VRDs in town to eventually 176. It's already over that, and it will remain over that until a number of them disappear from outside. And as they disappear more and more from the outside, that means more and more can go into the overlay and build towards that 176, which is what the most recent advisory group wanted, a hard cap of 176. I'm not changing that on them either. I'm simply saying, how do we count the VRDs?
You are changing how it's interpreted and the actions by which people have made their decisions with in the last 4 years,
right?
Okay? And say what you will, but you're playing games with it and you're taking 36 out. And if you do that, you're gonna get hammered. And I guarantee you it's probably not going to make it through city council anyway. Stick to the stuff that we can actually affect. The process is working. It's been working. Stuff outside's going down. We're going to set 176 out of a 200 we had possible. So we're already reducing it. We're putting the hard cap in there. And reasoning for that is to, A, not make it so by resolution, have an election. All of a sudden, new council comes in. We have 400, okay? That's what you're trying to do. I just stick to that and get that done. Take Bob's suggestion about looking at it in a few years. Again, if you wanna try it, but you gotta notice people and let them know that that's what's happening, because they will come out of the woodwork as soon as you start doing that.
Well, I just don't have any faith in the city council or the city attorney setting any kind of a phase out period. They've talked about it, and the talk has always been, no, we don't want to do that. And it may be because of
Proposition 49.
Measure 49.
No, measure, it may be that, that's holding them back, but in any case, there's been no agreement.
But it could be an issue where the politicians are behind the will of the people. If we look at what's happened with the county, you know, there was a groundswell of citizens concerned about short-term rentals with the county.
Yes.
And against the whole short-term rental industry and all of their money, it prevailed in an election. Now it's tied up in court, you know.
And the election was pretty clear.
But the citizens are concerned about these short-term rentals.
That election you referred to, it was very clear what the citizenry wanted.
Exactly. But I'm saying they were...
But that's not what this council is dealing with.
The citizens were leading the politicians on the issue. The politicians weren't leading the citizens.
Well, that seems to be the case here in Newport.
I can't comment on that. I mean, we have...
Well, my other thing is, too, is you've had a group go through and hash this stuff out, and it's got representation from both sides. You're better off to go with the stuff that they recommended, because they've already... I mean, I know that's why Bill was, like, against that motion of going through. He don't want to hash it no more. He's done it enough. I know exactly how it went, because I got to see some of this stuff when we did the geologic hazard stuff. Okay? Wasn't any different. It's same thing. And I think go with... You're getting 176, so you're making sure that they can't raise it to 200. Go with that. The 30-day thing, I think that's reasonable. That's don't make it hard for people to do business here. There's no reason for it. You need to facilitate the fact that people are doing stuff. My last point is, you don't have a vacation rental problem, you have a second home problem, and that's going to continue. If you go ask the guys that are building houses out there who they're building them for, 50% of them are building for vacation homes.
Less influence over. And
I know.
You have no influence over
Well, you
over
have no
that.
Influence over it, but I'm just telling you that at a certain point, you can kill the neighborhood. Okay? You just have to walk into South Shore or walk into Coronado Shores sometime and look at how many people are actually living there. It's very few. And they're dead neighborhoods, as far as I'm concerned, because they're just full of vacation rentals. They're full of second homes, not vacation rentals. But in Night Beach, where you actually have some vacation rentals, if you got an empty house, it's got somebody in it.
I think every tourist town has that.
There's a balance between the two.
I would imagine every coastal town has lots of second homes.
Well, yeah, coastal towns and...
I mean, this is just how America works.
Could we perhaps hear from our visitors?
That's a good suggestion. Jamie, do you want to chime in? Are you still there? I don't know if Jamie's...
She is.
She's
taking a minute.
Oh, there she comes. There she be.
Nice to see everybody. what can I answer for you specifically?
Well, we'll have the debate. Really, at this point, there was some original talk about phase out of 10 years. Okay, that's now basically off the table for the now. Then there was a discussion. Then we have a discussion over 30-day grace period before business licenses, and then Mr. Hanselman brought up the fact that we have more than 176 vacation rentals within the city limits, comprised of the Nye Beach business overlay, and then the homes outside of that, which reside in the R1, R2 area. So some of what the questions are from the work group, which went on for multiple years and was just abandoned, or not abandoned, put out, ended.
Finished its work and wrapped up.
Put it out of pasture.
So
It was a long time.
Yes, it was.
So what was the thinking, since you were a member of work group, regarding the whole vacation rental saga over the 176 cap, and why didn't the work group decide to increase that or decrease that or just go with it?
Well, you know, bear with me, because it has been a long time since I've had my hands in the material, my head in the material. But, you know, at one point, you know, we talked about it, and I was certainly in favor of tying the cap to a percentage of housing. And I think Derek was kind of speaking to that, right? So as you add housing units, that number of STRs would go, you know, up or down accordingly over time. I was certainly in favor of that. When we did set the cap, it was certainly with the understanding that we would be building up to that cap within the new overlay zone as the others fell off over time outside of the overlay. So that was my takeaway and expectation after sitting in on all those months of meetings. I think that it's a good sign, and that we know that I think what Derek, what you said, 36 or so of them that are located outside the overlay zone have already fallen off. That's pretty quick. That attrition happened pretty quickly. And, you know, I think that, if you just take a deep breath, like one of you had stated, you put the ordinance in place. I've always been a fan of this. You put the ordinance in place, let it do its job. You can always kind of come back and reassess how it's going and make adjustments to it, you know, at a later date. But I think that if you let the attrition start happening naturally, the economy is going to certainly slow things, you're going to see, and then come back and see if you know, still feel like you have something that you're concerned with or not. But I think that, you know, it's and I don't know, it sounds like the decision was already the hard cap at 176, but I was always, you know, in favor of it being a percentage of the existing housing stock. I hope that helps.
Questions of Jamie while we have her on? No questions of Jamie.
Someone's holding their hand up. I don't. Sorry, in the upper left hand, upper.
Somebody's holding their hand up.
Corner.
Didn't say a name on it.
Is that?
This was someone who just joined the meeting. I do not have his name at the time. If you'd like to unmute your phone and tell us your name.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, hi. My name's Seth Schubach. I apologize. I got to paint in my kid's room, and I realized, wait a minute, I think the meeting was tonight. I never did get a confirmation at the time, so my apologies for being late. I have a unit at the Embarcadero that I was hoping to get a short-term rental for. As obviously, that's what they're built for. But my question was the 173?
Yeah, yes.
I think your issue will pop up after 7 o'clock. You're on the agenda.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We have a regular meeting, which starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay, well, I just have a quick question. That 173 units she mentioned, now that has nothing to do with what's already preset as short-term rentals anyway, say the Embarcadero, correct? That couldn't possibly count all those and houses or units.
And Derek might speak to this, right, Derek, about the hotel license, how some of them at the Embarcadero fall into the hotel license.
Right. Seth, the Embarcadero is a little bit different. It's an Embarcadero resort operates a hotel where any of the units effectively can be managed through the hotel pool. On site,
sure.
As a, you know, those aren't affected whatsoever by this. What would be affected?
The number has nothing to do with those.
It has nothing to do with those. Yeah. It only applies to that small number of folks at the Embarcadero that are seeking to manage the units themselves and not go through the in-house operation.
It doesn't affect anything to do with the numbers that she said, because she made good sense. I mean, as a percentage, that makes great sense, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what the city of Corvallis had done as well, and I mean, it's worked. So anyway, my apologies for interrupting. I didn't realize that I didn't know what time I was supposed to but thank you.
Derek, clarification?
Yeah.
Did you just say that the 12 units at Embarcadero are not included in the 176?
No, the 12 are. The balance are not.
The
Embarcadero is a little bit slightly different critter because it was developed as a resort for transit.
Well, they built for short term, right?
Okay, but the 12 are included in the 148 that are active.
Correct. They are.
Okay.
Could we hear from perhaps Commissioner Jacoby and Miss Connell?
I can never pronounce it. Rugamo, who's a former mayor of the city.
Excuse me, Sandy. I thought you were Rugamo. Ms. Jacoby. I guess my eyes need to be adjusted.
Obviously.
I apologize.
You got a Sandy? Can I have you? Yeah.
Come on down.
So we can record it.
You know the drill.
Yeah.
And do I press? No, I'm on.
Yep.
It's deja vu all over again. What you're talking about and what you're saying is exactly what we as a committee have angst over since 2019. And I agree with what has been said, what Jim said. I think it's a good idea to take the 10-year hard thing off. And I agree with what Michelle says. Give this ordinance a chance. I think it will really work. And the 176, I remember on that meeting when we did vote on it, and it was so that there wasn't any waffle. In other words, if you had a range, then you'd always have that gray area. And to me, personally, on the committee, having a set number to work against was really important. And then for that, you could really see outside the overlay the attrition of those houses that are on the list now. So you're just, as I do think, give this place, give the ordinance a chance. That's my final.
Questions of Sandy, Brolio, or Cynthia?
I'll never live this down. I apologize, Mayor. I just saw this nice face staring at us, and I think you were Commissioner Jacoby. Yeah. But thank you for your input. I just thought it was important to hear, you know, from the working committee, you know, what your thought process was. Kind of respect the work that you've done already on this issue.
But
I can recall way back when I was on the ad hoc committee.
I remember
and
that.
How contentious this issue can be. And I think our community has been relatively fortunate, and we haven't had as much animosity generated over this issue as perhaps some other communities.
Yes, and it's been open. People have come. I mean, we've heard from everybody. Boy, have we heard from everybody. And so that really helped in many ways. But Jim's right, like with the geologic, you know, with the cliffs falling down, they don't care. It is, it gets out of the range of rational. And so you kind of have to just try to fit that middle line some way and then give it a chance. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wants to?
Remember, Ms. Connell had provided written testimony.
You want to say anything, Cheryl, or, okay.
Thank you for letting me speak. I'm Cheryl Connell. I served on the ad hoc committee, and so I do have some background that, again, I want to use to help you understand and maybe refresh your memories a little bit. As to the 176 cap, the reason I was in support of that obviously was in my testimony, but I want to go back to one of the things since we are now basically 3 years.
Come here. I got the camera off. You can come.
3 years since I was last working on this. The 2-3% that was mentioned as the housing stock at the time that could be used for vacation rentals was deemed at that point to not adversely affect ability of the community to support housing for residents, long-term housing. So let's just step back and just see if is that the case. We've had some time to evaluate that. My understanding in Newport is that the vacancy rate is probably close to zero. And I gain that not only from talking to other people who manage rentals, but also people who approach me trying to find a place to rent because they can't find anything. So I think that since we have the benefit of time now, in the fullness of time, I think that really needs to be reconsidered about that 176 being established as being 2-3% of the housing stock, and that we could probably in Newport handle that kind of use to go to vacation rental dwellings. I think that's a key point. The other thing that I want to bring up as far as my testimony and my rationale for suggesting the 176 is that, yes, there are those places outside of the vacation overlay, the one that was established a couple of years ago, that have gone away because they sold, transferred ownership, and no longer can be used under the current ordinance as a vacation rental. I believe one of the things that spurred that transfer of ownership was the very hot housing market that has been happening in the last 2 or 3 years here. That since has cooled because interest rates now are much higher. So I don't see the same kind of turnover with those kinds of vacation rentals that are outside of the overlay zone having that same attrition rate or even close to that because the housing market now is softened. And so I think that that's something that I would really like you to consider as you're going through these deliberations. If there's any questions that I have other than that about my testimony, I would be welcomed to, or I would welcome them right now. But that's really the points. Those are the points that I want to make in listening to where you're heading with this right now at the Planning Commission level.
It was a little unclear to me. Are you saying that, I mean, the 176 is a hard cap, pretty much everybody agrees with, but we need to figure out how to define it. Are you suggesting that be defined as all vacation rentals in the city limits or continue to be defined as those rentals in the overlay zone?
So as I had previously submitted in my testimony, what I had wanted you to do and gave me the rationale for doing that was to make 176 the total number of vacation rentals that would be allowed inside the city limits of Newport. And so given what Mr. Tokos had given as a number that in July was 185 reflective of that, of those two, those inside the overlay zone and those outside the overlay zone. Currently, we would be over that 176 number, granted. But again, that would basically make a de facto moratorium. So there would not be the ability for any new vacation rentals to be licensed until we got to that 176 cap. And given the recommendations that the ordinance implementation work group had provided to you, they had also some recommendations about quality improvement that needs to happen at the city level for a variety of things, including getting the municipal court dealing with notices of violations in a more timely fashion, figuring out what the transient room tax is and doing audits for that, building a quality system for the city to make sure they're getting the revenue in a timely fashion. So that gives everybody a little bit of breathing room so that we don't have new ones coming on board. The city can then, if they chose to follow those recommendations, they could really devote time to the ones that have been operating for a while and then be able to work with that to do what the work group had recommended to help those processes, especially when it comes to municipal court and their whole role in violations and getting those notices of violations adjudicated in a timely fashion and following up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
I appreciate it.
Okay, time is quickly escaping me.
I have a comment. I took it as, Cheryl says it's 3 years, I took it as 4 years. But you're basically losing 3.5 units if it's 4 years. So if the trend follows, you're done in 10 years. If it's 3 years, it's more like you're gonna be done in 8 years. That if the trend of houses, now she may be right about the fact that it's different housing markets, you may get different reactions from people. But right now you're trending really good to hit your 10 year mark from right now, so.
Is the goal of the current policy to try and eliminate the short-term rentals outside of the overlay zone?
Yes, by attrition.
By attrition.
Yeah, over time. And you do not want to go anywhere near the word moratorium. That does not go anywhere in the state of Oregon that works for you. If you put more, if you say the words moratorium on something, you're going to lose in court.
Yes, Governor Kochek.
I would share with you, we can document about three different reasons why they've been phasing out. Sale is one of them, for those units that are outside the overlay, it sells, and so it's no longer available for vacation rental purposes. You may recall testimony you received in 2019 from a number of people who said, hey, look, we're only doing this for a period of time because we plan to retire out here. Council received that same testimony, and lo and behold, some of those folks were quite accurate. And so they moved out to Newport, and those units are no longer available for vacation rental purposes. And then there is another set of people who gave up their licenses because they no longer wanted to do it, and their reasons vary. So,
what's your general feeling about the rate of that sort of thing continuing in future, in the next few years? Any gut feel?
I think it will slowly go down. How long it takes, I couldn't tell you. There are some folks that, that could very well want to continue it for quite some time. I mean, I really can't speak to that. It's really just a slow attrition where they slowly go away.
My guess is you get 7 or 8 years out and you'll still have 3 or 4 that'll just, they're just going to hang on for the next however long until somebody dies.
Which we all do.
Well, I don't think death is a, transfers it through an estate, transfers. Is that a new license?
Yes. It's a new license, yeah.
That's a new license.
Okay.
Trying to rapidly bring this to a close. What was on the agenda was a review of ordinance number 2202, which had to, talked about short-term rental, and Derek provided us language, and what's really on there is whether or not we should have a grace period. Should we have a grace period, or not, because the
I think absolutely. I think it just makes logical business sense. It has no relevance. The subject never even comes up when a real commercial business that does the same thing, a hotel, is sold. It's just part of the normal flow of business transactions, and to throw people out that had reservations just simply because the owner made a decision to sell, I don't really think that's fair. I think they have a contract they have to honor, and this will facilitate that. If they drag on more than 30 days, then it becomes a problem. And that's when the rest of the ordinance kicks in, that they're operating without a license, or, you know, even though they're in process. So I'm all in favor of that 30-day.
I'm opposed to having any period of time where somebody's operating a vacation rental without a license. If you're, you know, frankly, my thought would be, once you sell your property, that license goes back into the pool for the next folks that might be on the waiting list. By transferring it to another person, you're enabling one of those claims that this is a property right of mine that you're taking away.
No. It's just the opposite. The ordinance reads that if you're in a commercial or water zone or directly adjacent to it, that you are entitled, because you establish a business, and that, you know, the impetus, quite frankly, the thought on it started with Norm Ferber. And he had, I don't know, a bunch of vacation rentals, I don't remember the details. But he stood up and he said, look, you know, this is my retirement, this is my future. If you don't allow me to sell these, and they weren't particularly livable homes, but they were fine as vacation rentals. He said, if you take away my right to sell that as a vacation rental, I might as well just tear it down, because it's not going to be worth anything. And based on that thought, and as it evolved when we were developing the ordinance, that's the way it was written. So that's the status quo.
Yeah, I would just add to what Bob said, that you could throw in what Pacific Crest condos, the Embarcadero. So it's not just Norm. There were a number of developments in the C2 that were developed specifically for tourist-oriented, you know, as tourist-oriented facilities in the 70s and the 80s, and in Norm's case, I think it was the early 90s, and that's what led to that language ultimately landing in the code.
Okay, so are you for the grace period, Mr. Updike?
I'm good with the grace period as written.
Bob's good with the grace
period. And I also add that I thought the input from finance and fire was helpful and addressed some of Braulio's concerns that you had raised about what is our real process. So there's the legality, but then we also have to be realistic about how the city of Newport can and can't operate. So I think that was helpful information.
Okay, Mr.
Well, I have a question for Derek. Derek, how often do vacation rentals get inspected? I know the hotel motels, according to the fire chief, they try to get to them annually.
Yeah, no, with the vacation rentals, it is upon change of ownership.
Only at change of ownership.
Mm-hmm. Now, there would be a change. Change of ownership, or if there's a significant modification to the unit. So if they're making building modifications, we'd be going through there too.
And complaint driven, I assume, too, right?
Well, absolutely. Complaints would be followed up on, yes.
If inspections were prior to sale, I would feel better about it, because at least the city would have looked at the place. You know, but
talking about that's a different subject.
No, it's not. It is not a different subject, Bill, because I want some idea of how that VRD, that STR, what condition it's in when the new owner takes over. You don't know that. All you know is it traded hands. If an inspection was done before sale by the city, we would know whether that abode is sufficiently prepared to take people still. That would give me a reason to give them a grace period, because we know the dwelling is safe. Without that inspection, I don't know. So it is very much in my mind that's important. That's why I asked Derek about inspections.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with respect to concern about safety. With regards to inspecting prior to conveyance, we're not involved in the real estate transaction. We have no knowledge of when a real estate transaction is happening in any regard, not just with vacation rentals, for any property. There's no real way for us to be inserted at that point in time. So the way it was drafted ordinance-wise, and there was a lot of discussion at the time, I mean, it's one thing for our fire department to go through a hotel with a large number of units. It's another thing entirely when you're looking at 185 vacation rentals. How do they work that into their inspections? And that's why we ended up ultimately drafting the code such that they would go through upon change of ownership, or if there's a significant modification of the structure, or as John said, if the complaint came in specific to that type of an issue. And that's manageable with their available resources, considering they've got to deal with the hotels and motels, too.
You just said that an inspection would be keyed by a change of ownership?
Correct. If there's a change of ownership, then the inspection's going to happen.
So when does that happen?
When we're talking about the C2, change of ownership, so and the grace period. Right. So when they come in and get a business license, the fire department's going to go through on an inspection.
So does that alleviate Jim's concern, or am I?
That's after the sale. Which is the only way it can happen. You have to be realistic about the process.
When I buy a house, I get an inspection before I buy the house.
That's correct.
That's my option and my choice.
And that inserts a private party into the transaction.
We're licensing these, John. We're licensing these.
But you're not going to, if you don't pass the inspection, you're not getting a license.
That's
so
fine.
You're not making things unsafe. So how is it?
We don't know if it's safe or unsafe. That's the thing.
What difference is it?
If you're going to license it or sell it as a VRD, if I sell my VRD to you,
that's their problem. Okay, then that's my problem. I can turn around and sue that you didn't meet the conditions or whatever. That's a private thing. It has nothing to do with the city. The city will either say yay or nay based on their inspection.
Okay, this is.
But if you give a license in that 30 days. Before an inspection is done, then the city is liable because we've licensed it. Yes, as soon as you award a license to a property to operate, the city has some tie to that.
Okay, I would recommend that we continue this discussion, work group discussion, for the next session because we are not close to coming to any form of conclusion or consensus.
Well, Bill, we scheduled it to be voted on next
week. Right.
Next meeting is right now.
At this time, it's 7:05.
Here's my advice. My advice would take the ordinance as drafted to the hearing, do a vote on it, see where you land. If it doesn't clear, then you can always redirect it back to work session.
Right. Agreed.
Okay.
If that's acceptable for you, that would
yeah, and we can works. Vote on each of these elements, right?
You can make
individually,
however you want to frame the motion,
and right. We can have individual motions to modify the draft, like Jim might want to do, and then have a vote on the whole package after that's put together.
Right?
Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, and then see where you end up, and if you can't clear it. With a recommendation to council, you can always direct it back to another work session.
Or send it back to those nice folks that hardly spent any time on it. I mean.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with Derek's suggestion? Okay. The work group has officially ended.
Can we take a 5-minute break before the regular session begins?
As far as I'm concerned, unless we're holding somebody up, Sherry.